place, that is to say Hawaii, has a problem. Hawaii has a sewage problem. Nobody likes to have a problem like that. What they have in Hawaii are cesspools. And cesspools are basically pits dug, and they are filled with untreated human waste. And so it's a crisis in Hawaii, and it is threatening the drinking water, the coral reefs, the beaches. There is sewage seeping into the ocean waters, blamed for a lot of infections that surfers and snorkelers are having. And so it is entering the drinking water in part of the state. They have in Hawaii 88,000 cesspools on the 8 major islands. 88,000, and that's more than any other state has of these. And collectively, this is depositing 53 million gallons of raw sewage into the ground every day. 90% of the state's drinking water comes from groundwater wells. And so these things were outlawed 2 years ago, so they're not building any more, but they've still got 88,000 of them. And they're struggling to find a solution to that. And it occurred to me that this is probably a pretty good picture of some things that are closer to us. This looks beautiful, but if the facts are true, then in reality, what's going on is not so beautiful in Hawaii. We'll take that off. Ugh, nasty. I think that's a perfect picture of our culture and the human speech that's going on around us now in the public and private spheres. We are wealthy, we are healthy, we are educated, but we are inundated with verbal and visual garbage and sewage. From all sides, we're inundated with this. Now, when it comes to taking sides in arguments, we tend to like the sewage that's aimed at those we disagree with, right? They got it coming. And we don't like the sewage that's aimed at us. But the truth of it is, just like in Hawaii, everybody's drinking out of the same source, out of the same ground water. And so it's beautiful on the surface, but the reality is pretty ugly. So we want to think about the words we say. And Jesus, in chapter 12 of Matthew, was accused of being in league with the devil because he was casting out demons. And Jesus' answer was, I don't think that works very well. Do you? Really? Start at verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. For the tree is known by its fruit. In other words, he's saying, I'm doing miracles and healing people and casting out demons, and that's a good thing. That means that what's coming out of me is good. This is from God. Verse 34. Then he speaks some pretty sharp words. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, Men will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thanks be to God for the grace and forgiveness of Jesus the Christ. Because everybody would be in a whole bunch of trouble on that account. But this is an opportunity now for us as the followers of Messiah, of followers of Jesus, this is an opportunity for us to be different than the world that is shrieking and screaming horrible obscenities at each other all the while. So, the simple truth, our speech comes from our heart. And the heart is the source of life. The Proverbs say it is the wellsprings of our life. So take care what get into those wellsprings. Our speech comes from our source of life. Well, that's simple, right? Of course it's not simple. God makes things very complex because he just makes things and it takes us a long time to get them. Everyone is different. Some people are very quiet by nature. Some people are, how should we say, prophetic. They're out there. They see something and they have to respond to it. And that can be good and that can be bad. So let's consider some things from the Proverbs today when we think about when we get ready to say something and when we're hearing something from someone else. The first thing is this. It's kind of like your mom said, consider the source. When someone tells you something, who's telling you this? What's in their heart? Let me read from the Proverbs. One who winks an eye maliciously causes grief. Someone who's deceiving someone else and bringing you in on the joke. They're causing grief. And a babbling fool, blah, 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 blah. A babbling fool comes to ruin. The scripture says, walk away from a fool, for you will find no knowledge on his lips. A fool finds no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. I love this one. The lips of a fool enter into an argument, and his mouth invites a beating. Oh, the temptation people bring sometimes. And so Jesus, again, saying words that are very pointed, but properly pointed. I'm not sure I trust myself to say words like this, but he said later in Matthew in chapter 15, hypocrites! Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, the things we say come out of our heart, but there's a lot to be said about inflection and body language. If I say, sure, or I say, sure, I said two different things, didn't I? Their lips honor me, but their heart is far from me. So before you react to someone's words in your face, on the internet, on the television, wherever you're reacting, consider the source. Same with books. Now, I'm interested in the title of books, but I'll tell you something I'm even more interested in when I'm considering a new book I haven't seen before. I'm interested in who wrote the book. Who is speaking to me? And so I go looking for who this person is if I don't know them already. Many times I go looking for a book based on who's writing. That's where it starts. Consider the source. There are a lot of people, I just don't care to hear what they have to say, frankly, because I know where they are already. And some people I listen to, even though I know I disagree with them, but I think they have an honest heart, and I want to hear how they explain this thing or that thing. The news on the television does not care about the issues. They don't care about the issues. They care about keeping you watching the television. That's their job. There's a rule at the television station. We'll put on here, we'll put on screen, whatever's going to keep Leon's blood pressure up. And so they'll find somebody to respond to something who's just the most obnoxious, outrageous person they can find. Why do they put that person on there? They know I don't want to hear this person because I know what they're going to say already. They're doing it just to stick their finger in your ribs, just to keep you watching. Media creates the news much of the time. It creates problems. It creates events instead of reporting on them. And so when someone is speaking to me in one way or another, my question is, who are you? Who are you and why are you speaking to me? Am I being drawn into someone else's story? Did I let them set a question that's a faulty question? Am I stepping into their propaganda? Or is this a worthy thing? Is this an honest person? Is this a good person? Does this person have the Spirit of God in them? Now, just because someone's a believer doesn't mean I agree with them in everything they say. They may have read something wrong. I'll be happy to tell them how it's right. And they may feel that way about me as well. Is this person expressing what the Spirit of God is showing them? Or are they simply using God's name in vain to sell me something? Or sell me an idea? Consider the source. Then, once you've considered the source, look at who's talking to you. Consider the possibility that some things are better left at the source. Some thoughts that rise up in my heart, some words that come up into the back of my throat, I had better just swallow them back down. They're better left unsaid. The world doesn't leave much unsaid these days. And we'd be better off if some things were left unsaid. The Proverbs again. A clever person conceals his knowledge, but the heart of a fool blurts out folly. You've seen this before. And for those of us who aren't as clever, this verse, I live by this verse. Even a fool who keeps quiet is considered wise. He's considered discerning if he seals his lips. I used to tell my daughters, always smile, because it makes people think you know something. And they live by that. People are always trying to read you, what you're about. And if you blurt out folly, they'll know what you're about. Like taking off a garment on a cold day. It's hard to imagine, but try to imagine. Taking off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is a person who sings songs to a heavy heart. Think about the words you say to someone who's suffering. Think about the words you say to someone who's grieving. That person does not need you to make yourself feel better at their expense. When someone has lost someone, don't theorize about what God was doing. They don't want to hear that. They have no way to receive that. C.S. Lewis described the people who were in his house just after his wife died. And he said, "I wish they understood that I'm really happy that they're here. I want them to be here. I just don't want to talk to them, and I really don't want to hear from them." In the Jewish community, they have something called, they sit shiva, which means you make sure this person has somebody with them for a whole week, for 7 days. You just have meals with them. You talk with them. You don't have to pontificate or preach or anything of that sort. Just be with them. That's an important principle in our communication. Look for what's in someone else's heart. And then when it comes to minding somebody else's business, the proverb says, like somebody who grabs a dog by the ears. Who does that? Not smart. Like someone who grabs a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel that is not his own. You're going to get bit. Some things you just stay out of. It goes on, like a madman shooting firebrands and deadly arrows is someone who deceives his friend, and then when he's caught, he says, "Oh, I was only joking." joking, not funny. We tease probably way too much. We need to be very careful in our words when we're teasing one another, and if we deceive one another and try to shuffle it off by saying it was just a joke. So let fools argue with fools. One of my daughters was upset by something somebody said on the internet and was thinking to answer this statement in that public forum, and her husband said, "It's the internet. Why answer? Don't argue with fools. Let them be." And there's nothing sadder than good people falling into traps set for them by fools. So it's always safer to keep quiet, but it's not always the best thing. So we learn when to be quiet, but there are some things that should be said. And the Proverbs address those as well. An anxious heart weighs a person down, but a good word cheers that person up. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer. But a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, Jesus used harsh words sometimes when they were needed. I trust him so much more with those kind of words than I trust myself. A healing tongue is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Well, let's think about the New Testament for a while. Where does this all come to fruition? All this wisdom of the centuries. Paul says this in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, we've heard that before, and self-control. All the things that the world does not specialize in. Against such things there is no law. Who will convict you of being gentle and patient? Those who belong to Christ Jesus, Paul says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So you, having controlled your passions and desires, let your good fruit, your joy, love, peace, forbearance, all those things, let your good fruit bless all those around. Some of us have a special gift of encouragement. I love to be around encouragers. They're so encouraging. Who doesn't love that? And what a great gift to be able to give that out all the time. We're not all set up that way, but we can learn from them. We can learn from the Scripture. Ask yourself, what is in my treasury? Is it a good treasury? Is God filling that up with good things? Even though I think the world is very dark around me, do I have the courage to come out and just bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? What's in your treasury? Paul says again to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. How can we rejoice? Have you seen the news? Don't worry about the news. Here he comes at it again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That's three times we've seen gentleness show up. So there are people around us who are less tough than we are. They have less leathery hide than we do. They're tender, especially little ones. And they could use a word of encouragement. Are you ready and willing to give that where it's needed? Are you watching? Are you listening? Is the Spirit of God working in you, looking at other people and said, you know, this person could use a little help? Some things should be said. And finally this, some things must be said. the Proverbs again. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word aptly spoken. Like a gold earring or a gold ornament is a wise reproof to a receptive ear. Now the receptive ear is part of it. You remember when we spoke about wisdom that a word to the wise is sufficient. That's enough. If you remind a person who believes God and loves God, they'll know when they're getting off the track, and your one word will help them. But for a fool who's bound and determined to do the wrong thing, 100 whacks with a stick are not enough to bring that person back onto the pathway. That's what the Proverbs say. So sometimes a wise reproof lands in a receptive ear and does a good thing. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time, and who wouldn't like a little snow today, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes his master's soul. Who sends us with a message? Whose soul can we refresh by bringing a message? God. We refresh him when we reflect him to the world, when we bring his truth and his message. I want to end today with a couple of passages from the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. Who sends us with a message? And Paul says, look, it's not just magic. I mean, you live a lifestyle, and that's a huge part of it, and it's an important and necessary part of your message. But at some point, you got to just tell them the truth about Jesus. He says in verse 14, Romans 10, 14, how then shall they call on the one in whom they have not trusted? And how shall they trust in the one they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without someone proclaiming? And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent? Who is sent? You're sent. I'm sent. Who are you sent to? Well, the very least of whom I'm sent to is the people that are in my life. Those 5 to 8, or those 8 to 15 people that are in my life, that are on that list that I carry around in my Bible, that's sitting on my desk, that I'm praying for every day, that I'm praying for every time I pass their driveway. I hope you're doing that too. We have blanks of that list out there in the narthex if you need a refresher one to update your list. The question finally is this: are you a credible messenger? That's important. The way you use words can make you a credible messenger or make you a not credible messenger. Our life is our credibility. Our speech is our credibility. 1 Peter 3 says it this way in verse 15. But in your hearts, you know that treasury, that good treasury, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. That's how you'll know if it's a good treasury. That's the beginning place. Do you revere Christ as Lord? He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Are you a hopeful person? Do people know that you have hope? They'll ask about it. But do this. Here it is again. Do this. Tell this message with gentleness and respect. Wow, that's like the 4th time we've heard this. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously, and we know some of those, we know a lot of those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And so we are in this world to speak Christ to a hurting world. And they're not going to hear it unless our words are words of gentleness and respect. Even when they're telling a hard truth, they're speaking with gentleness and respect. So consider the source. Consider holding some things back at the source. But remember, some things should be said. And finally, some things must be said. The wisdom of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, may our words be like those gold apples in a silver setting, like pieces of art that come from a good treasury that you have built in us. May our lives be just very credible, that making us credible as messengers of your truth and your word. Thank you for the greatness, the love, the grace that you put in us and ask us to share with the world around us. We thank you for this opportunity this week again for the people you've set in our lives. We pray for them today. And we thank you for them and ask that you would bless them through us. And that will be our blessing this week. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.